to the Inspired Change Summit, presented by Earth is Waking Up. This is your host, Jeremy Anderson. Today, we're very blessed to have the amazingness of talking with Crystalia Marie on the keys to having an abundantly fulfilling life. Crystalia began her self-healing journey in her mid-20s, yet her real healing began in 2000 when, after years of working on self-worth and self-love issues, she discovered an underlying belief that had kept her from loving herself fully. In 2001, her faith and self-love were tested when she discovered a golf ball-sized lump in her breast. After doing all that she knew and trying many alternative healing methods, she was guided to create crystagraphs, which are symbols or colored drawings that during one brief session removed the lump. She subsequently had various ailments such as bladder infection, yeast infection, hyperthyroidism, deep vein thrombosis, cancer, and more. In each case, she immediately received crystagraphs, the symbols, to heal the ailment. She now helps thousands of people worldwide find and heal the underlying cause that has kept them from healing themselves. Crystalia is the director of Inner Peace for 10 Million Clicks for Peace, a best-selling co-author with Deepak Chopra, Mark Victor Hansen, and Wayne Dyer in the Wake Up book series, and author of the 1-Minute Energy Tune-Up series of books and products, as well as a former popular radio talk show host on energy healing for body, mind, and spirit. Welcome and thanks for being on the show, Crystalia.
Oh, thank you, Jeremy. I'm really excited to be here today. I think this is going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to sharing with your listeners.
Awesome. That's the way I like it. So we got some of your background. Let's see. So on the topic or theme of inspired change, could you share with us some points in your life that you felt inspired to change, or that you felt like something was pushing you forward to do more work that helped you awaken?
Well, I guess probably the first one I'm aware of was, and this is kind of shocking to some people, I got beat up and stabbed by a fellow I was dating. And for most people, they would go into major victimhood. And I won't say I didn't for a while, because I certainly did.
Yeah.
But it was one of the biggest awakenings for me, because I was fortunate enough to have a therapist that was a talk therapist. And he taught me, though, that I really need to look at my own self-esteem and why I attracted that in my life. Now, we're talking in the 1970s. Most therapists never, even today, very few therapists would have gone there. But
yeah.
I was really blessed to have that. So that was probably my first awakening.
Wow, no kidding.
And I can actually, so I learned to forgive that man to the point that I can actually sit in meditation, visualize, and send him love and thank him, because without that experience, and I know this can sound really bizarre to somebody that's been in an abusive relationship, without that experience, I couldn't help other people that have some of the challenges that I do help people with because of that experience. So
yeah.
That's where I've come from, from there to where how I feel about that experience now.
I had a similar something. But we don't have to
go
into that right now. Yeah, I was hit by a drunk driver and put in the hospital for a while. And I was 16. And one of the things I realized is that he didn't do it on purpose. Like, I mean, yeah, he made some stupid decisions, but it's not going to do me any good to hold it against him and
right.
sit in that the rest of my life. So I'd rather forgive than.
Right. Yeah, and I had to do work, actually, forgiving even the jury that let him off and all of that. So the criminal system was very different back then for women in particular when they were in a domestic abuse situations than it is today, and it still needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and then I'm probably the next one that really woke me up to learning how we can actually shift things and heal our bodies was pretty fascinating. Long before the one you talked about with the lump, after meeting this therapist, and learning more about my self-esteem, I realized I had this pain in the center of my chest all the time. And I looked back and I remembered at the age of 4, I fell off of a bicycle. And when I did, the handlebar hit me right in the center of the chest. And after 3 or 4 days of complaining, my mother finally took me to the doctor, because back then they didn't really drag you to the doctor right away unless you really complained. And that's okay, because I think sometimes we panic a little too much these days. But anyway, I got to the doctor, and he did x-rays and stuff, and he said, it's only a really bad bruise. It's not a big deal. But he added this one statement, and that was, every time it's cold or damp outside, you're probably going to have a pain there for the rest of your life.
Oh, no.
So there I was living in Michigan, surrounded by water and humidity and all that stuff, and it was cold and damp all the time. And in my mid-20s, after learning about the self-esteem and stuff, I said, you know what, I bet I can change that. And I went into hypnosis after I learned how to do self-hypnosis, and in one hypnosis session, I was able to change that. And that changed my life in a lot of ways, because it made me realize how much we are programmed in so many ways in our life that we're not even aware of.
Yeah.
And that we can actually override those programs. And sometimes it can be as instantaneous as one little 20-minute exercise.
Yeah. It's amazing when we, discover that power.
Yeah. And then probably the next big one was my awareness that all the self-love work I had done, that I still didn't believe I loved myself. And with some muscle checking in a session in 2000, I found out I had a belief that God was going to punish me if I loved myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the awakening there, not only that belief was a huge awakening for me, but it was also a big awakening as to how many times we have beliefs that are underlying what we're saying we believe, that are kind of contradicting what we really do believe at a deep core level.
Somewhere beneath the surface that we don't seem to have access to, huh?
Well, it's not we don't have access to, we're not aware of, and we don't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And so we certainly can find access to it, we can learn what those are, but most of us don't dig that deep. So I was working on self-esteem and self-love and did all the affirmations in front of the mirror and, you know, wrote them out and all of that. And certainly, I will say, things got better, but with that underlying belief that God was going to punish me if I love myself, my subconscious mind was saying, really? You want to do that? God's going to punish you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So those are probably the biggest. And, of course, then my symbols and Christographs coming to me with the lump in my breast was the next biggest one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that had to have been a bit of a shocker.
Well, you know, that one was, but I laugh at the whole experience because my father was an artist professionally and a draftsman and an engineer that was a design engineer draftsman. And so he really instilled in all of his children that we couldn't draw anything.
Oh, whoa.
So between that and the fact that I dismissed Reiki because it had symbols, and I'm like, what the hell? The symbols have to do with anything. So imagine my surprise when my medical intuitive, after everything else I'd done wasn't working and everything everyone else was doing wasn't working, said to me, you need to draw those images floating in your aura. And I remember rolling my eyes and saying, yeah, right, she's a little weird, and I'm here. But, you know, Spirit had a different idea, and I started seeing these images, and I'm like, I guess I probably should draw these things. And it took 2 or 3 weeks before I got the one that removed the lump from my breast, but literally 20-minute session, and the lump was gone.
Wow.
Now, full disclosure, I didn't actually check till the next morning because I wasn't sure I believed what happened either.
Wow.
But, yeah, and, you know, as you said in the intro, lots of other things happened after that were ailments I recognized I'd had at some point previous in my life. And I'd see the symbol, I'd draw it, I'd look at what the underlying emotional thing was, I'd release it and use the symbol for 15, 20 minutes and gone.
That's amazing, because so Greg Braden has talked about the psychic hospitals in China and how people have been able to make tumors disappear within minutes and watch it on the ultrasound. And when I saw that video, I was, wow, that's amazing. It's so awesome to finally see proof of that sort of thing actually happening.
Yeah, I haven't seen that video, but yes, my own experience has been the same. I actually had a lump years earlier, and a healer and I did some work to heal it. This was quite interesting. It was before the symbols, and I was going in that already had a mammogram, two mammograms, an ultrasound. They were like, okay, you got to come in for the needle biopsy. And I'm like, really? I don't really like this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, let's just do some healing work and see what we can do. We literally removed the lump from the breast. We removed it from all of the test results because the guy coming in to do the needle biopsy kept coming back and asking me, so where was the lump? I'm like, I don't know. It's on your test results. I don't ask those questions. And he finally came back in and he says, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't see anything here on these test exams. Come back in 6 months. I didn't go back in 6 months.
Yeah, no need. Holy
but,
cow.
Yeah, I mean, we are very powerful beings. And when we set our mind to do something and we really believe in ourselves, we can do anything. I really, truly believe that.
Yeah. How did you get so lucky to get these symbols? You know, most people don't get anything like this in their whole life. Like, how do you feel was the reason or why was it that you were chosen and given these symbols?
I'm not really sure why I was chosen. I guess probably part of it would have been that I was open to receiving it, although, like I said, I did roll my eyes when she first said to draw them. I think, though, because I had been experimenting so long with shifting things and really didn't have a definition for what it was at that point, I think that was a big part of it. And I'd had multiple psychics do readings telling me I was this powerful healer and I had all these gifts and everything. And I really thought they were all crazy, to be really honest. I was a computer geek, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that, and I think the fact that I had learned hypnosis and seen some of this probably kept me more open to it.
Uh-huh.
Now, the other thing that happened to me in 2000, I mentioned the muscle check for that belief. I met a woman who had symbols in her book, and I was at the time living in Houston, and she happened to be a practitioner in Houston. And I was still in the corporate world, and her book had symbols in it for soul recovery, soul retrieval. And I literally was going to dismiss the book because I was like, I'd already dismissed Reiki. I'm like, what are these symbols? But as I was flying across the country in first class, reading her book, I got to one of the symbols, and I couldn't believe it. I was sobbing. And, of course, the only reason I mentioned first class is my ego kicked in. Oh, you're in first class. People are going to see you crying. This is silly. So I quickly put the book away. And then I sat there, and I'm like, oh, this is silly. You know. Seriously, it can't be that simple. You're being silly. Get the book out and start sobbing again. So long story short, I was calling all my friends when I landed in Denver saying, go buy this book now. So that was really my introduction to how powerful images could be, and I ended up studying under her for almost a year after I left the corporate world.
Wow.
Yeah.
So these images aren't just specific to you. These work for everyone.
The ones I create are specific to different ailments, and they work for everyone. Now, I do offer a personal crystagraph that are one of a kind, but 90% of what I do is they work for everyone. So, like, you know, the symbol we're going to share later and stuff, those all work for everyone.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Well, and you know, that was part of my thing when I started getting them. I'm like, is this going to work for everyone? You know, how does it work? All that. I ask a lot of questions to spirit. It's not like I'm just going to like take this stuff and pretend I know what the heck's going on. Like, okay, does this work for everyone or just me? And then, of course, I started testing it on other people too to see how, what kind of reactions they had. Stuff. My friends all joined in to help at the beginning, and then other people.
Wow.
Yeah.
So could you explain some of the way that these tools have come into play in your work, in working with others, maybe some of the experiences that some people have had, or awakenings, or something along those lines?
Sure. So one of them, that I'll give you one on health, and how about one on prosperity? So one of them on health that I thought was really fun was a woman. There was four or five of us that were at this retreat, and we all were sharing a cabin. And she had the room in the middle, and the room was open, so it actually, anything that went on in her area, we all heard.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this really horrible, horrible cough. Mm. And it was continuous, and I had this symbol that stops coughing. So she had no idea about the symbols, and she didn't have any idea who I really was. We'd all just met.
Yeah.
And I, you know, everybody was like, oh, God, this is going to be hard to sleep. She's hacking and coughing. I walked over, and I had the symbol. I took and put it against her hand, and I said, here, just hold this in your hand, and this will calm your cough for the evening. So her cough stopped pretty quickly, probably within a minute to 2 minutes at the most.
Wow.
And she fell asleep, and we all went to bed. And in the middle of the night, I heard her hacking and coughing. So in the morning, I said, I'm really sorry. I thought that symbol would really help you. And she's like, what do you mean you're sorry? You thought it would help. It did help. And I'm like, well, I heard you coughing in the middle of the night. She's like, yeah, it fell out of my hand. As soon as I found it again and put it in my hand, I fell right back to sleep.
Wow.
So I thought that was a lot of fun. I mean, I've had lots of really cool experiences with health. I had a little baby that I was literally at his birth. I almost delivered him prematurely.
Huh.
And he was, oh, gosh, 10 weeks premature, 8 to 10 weeks. I can't really remember. but anyway, once he was born, they were like, we were in a little tiny hospital in Las Vegas, New Mexico. It's really tiny. And they're like, okay, we have to airlift him out of here, and the closest hospital is Albuquerque. And we're like, no, we got to get him to Arizona.
Huh.
And they're like, he won't make it to Arizona. There's no way. So I started, I said, what exactly are the issues? And they said, his breathing. So I started putting anything I had to do with helping his lungs and his breathing. And the doctor comes over to me, and she's like, about a half hour into it, and she's like, I don't know what you're doing, but his breathing's okay now. So if you have anything for his immune system, I'd go get it and put it on him right now. And another hour goes by, and she said to me, what hospital in Arizona did you want to take him to? And I said, well, I think she wants to go to Flagstaff, but I'll double check. So I went and talked to Mom, and we agreed on Flagstaff, and I came back, and she said, okay, well, he's good to fly there or Phoenix. Now, Phoenix was quite a bit further, and he's like, he's fine for either one. So, and he flew to Phoenix or to Flagstaff and got all the care he needed and was out of the hospital way faster than they ever predicted he would be. And
wow.
He's a strong 13-year-old boy now.
Wow.
Yeah.
From preemie to...
mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then prosperity-wise, this one, I just got this email a couple days ago, a woman that just finished one of my courses, my prosperity course, and she's like, I just finished, and I wanted to let you know what happened. And she said that she had already found... I think it was a $50 bill in a pocket in some old clothes that she hadn't looked in years. and then she said she was going down the street and found a $20 bill on the street.
Huh.
Then she was cleaning out a closet and found 20 silver bars in an old purse.
Oh, wow.
She then said to me, and I've been thinking that I want to start a practitioner healing thing here in town, but I've really never attracted any clients. I've talked to people about it and so on, but this week I landed 2 clients. So I sent her an email and said to her, can I use this as a testimonial? And she wrote back a week later, finally, and she said, yes, you can. And by the way, this week I just got $500 for jewelry I had on consignment that's been on consignment for 9 months.
Oh, wow. Everything all just came together.
Yeah, it's when you start to really heal the issues, it all comes together, whether it's health-wise, whether it's relationships, whether it's financial. It really comes down to, are you going to clear all the things that you've had in your path and move forward, or are you going to keep those blocks there? Are you going to hang on to that stuff?
Well, yeah, for most people that's so hard because most people don't have the tools or the know-how to clear those blocks. And so from what I understand, you've got a huge toolbox to draw from. Can you talk a little about that process of...
A lot of work has gone into all the experiences I've had, and I want to keep it simple for people, and yet there are processes you have to go through. So I don't have any magic bullets, and I don't believe in magic bullets, but what I do have is tools that really do work. And I actually, though, have asked Spirit to make them work quickly. So, like, as an example, most people teach to take 21 days to change a belief.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how many people are going to do this? So when I learned how to change a belief at a core level, I had to first find what the core one was, then create statements that bridged all the way forward to what I wanted the statements to be from where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to do that twice a day for 21 days in front of a mirror and write it out in red. And usually there was 50 to 70 statements.
Wow.
Okay? Now, how many people will take time to do that?
Probably not many.
Not many, right. And I was on, I had just left my career at that point, so I had plenty of time to do that.
Wow.
So when I started getting this work, I'm like, okay, I know how powerful that is, but can we make it faster? So I actually have a symbol to help people get to the core beliefs faster.
Huh.
And then we still have to do all the bridging statements, but we only do it once in one session. And then we muscle check about 10 days and see where we're at and what we have to work on from that point. So it's not like you have to do it every day, except for the final affirmations. Of course, you want to keep that positive flow going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what my work is all about, is how can we do this, do it fully, but do it quickly, because people, we're busy, and we have so many things going on in our lives these days.
Yeah.
How many people will take that time?
Yeah. I think it's super challenging for most people to take any time to do anything like that.
Well, we're a fast food and fast everything society today, aren't we?
Yeah. Made scramble.
Not that I eat fast food, but...
Yeah, no, I've been avoiding it for a while, too. As soon as I learned about it, I was like, whoa, can't go back to that. No way. My body is more valuable than that.
Oh, I had interesting experiences. Like, I had eliminated a lot of it, but I still liked Kentucky Fried Chicken. I remember sitting and eating some Kentucky Fried Chicken. This was, gosh, 2007, 2006, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And as I was eating it, I realized it was the last time I was going to have Kentucky Fried Chicken. By the time I was done eating it, I was actually, like, feeling ill. Like, I can't believe I put this in my stomach. I have had no desire to even pull in their parking lot since that day.
Wow. That's
yeah.
A worthwhile experience.
Yeah, I've had a lot of experiences like that. With food in particular, because I was addicted to Pepsi to the point I used to drink 15 Pepsis a day.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I couldn't imagine picking one up and even tasting it today.
Wow. I thought I was bad. I used to get 1 or 2 Cokes a day when I was in high school because there was a vending machine there. So I assumed, well, if they've got the vending machine there at the high school, it must be fine. I just assumed.
Right, right.
I don't touch that stuff anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 15 Pepsis a day is a heck of a lot of Pepsis. I literally would get up in the morning, I would go to the refrigerator, I would chug one and pour the second over ice. I did all that before I even went to the bathroom.
Wow.
That's how addicted I was.
Wow.
Yeah. And the third one was in my hand on my way to the car, and the fourth one, as soon as I walked into my office, I went to the vending machine.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
How long did that go on?
Ooh, gosh, probably. That 15 probably was good 5 or 6 years, but
wow.
It took me another 15 years before I actually kicked the habit 100%.
Wow. So how much was the self-healing and clearings that you were working on, how much of that did you realize was part of that shift? And did you even realize, or was it just something that kind of dwindled over time? And
yeah, I don't think I really realized. I just knew that I had to quit. It was just not healthy for me. My blood sugar was getting crazy and all of that. And I don't think I ever did the emotional healing for that one.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, now that you bring it up, that's interesting. I don't think I've ever put this together before. After I quit the Pepsi for several years, I threw out my left shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And this was after I had the symbols, and I did all kinds of work on it, and I couldn't get what it was. What was the underlying piece? And it kept coming back.
Hmm.
And it was so bad, I literally couldn't, like, put my hand behind my back to buckle my bra, any of that.
Wow.
And I couldn't lift it above, like, straight out in front of me. If I tried to go even, like, to 2 o'clock, you know, it wouldn't. And one day this woman said to me, you know, left shoulder relates to pancreas. I'm like, oh, really? So that's on Chinese medicine, on the meridians.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I would do some work on whatever pancreas means. Well, pancreas is sweetness in life. And so I went home and I worked with my pancreas symbol, and I worked with where I wasn't getting sweetness in my life. And literally, the shoulder released instantly. And I had been going to doctors, chiropractors. I'd had MRIs, everything on the shoulder. It had been a year.
Huh.
And it was as simple as that. The woman told me that. I recognized sweetness in life. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't put... So I never did that piece of healing when I let go of the Pepsi.
Huh.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. That's awesome. I appreciate everything you're sharing. This is great. Let's see, what else? Prosperity. So that's a big one for a lot of people. What do you understand some of the underlying culprits of our issues with prosperity in life, generally?
Well, generally, it's a couple of things. Well, first of all, I think the culprit to any healing, so I'm going to really, like, stretch some people here, is self-love.
Mm.
And I really believe that when we fully love ourselves, we are able to switch any part of our life that we want to switch and change, okay? So when it comes to prosperity, that's just one more piece of it, is do we really feel worthy? Do we really feel that we love ourselves enough to accept this money? Do we claim our own power? You know, a lot of us in the healing world aren't really claiming our power. We're a little hesitant. And I have to tell you, I know from a past life, I was burned at the stake. So, you know, it took me a bit of healing work to be okay with coming out and talking about this stuff, okay?
And knowing that you're not going to be punished by God for
well, or
succeeding.
Be burned at the stake again. Because, you
right.
know, the subconscious mind doesn't understand those past things that happened until we can bring them forward and say, okay, I can heal this. I mean, the conscious mind. Subconsciously, we know, and then we kind of bury that stuff. So that's one of the keys. Another key on prosperity that I think is really important, and I think it's missing, is opening ourselves up to receive.
Uh-huh.
I don't think most of us think we deserve to receive.
Right.
And so I think that's really a big key, and I've worked with a lot of people that literally just that change in themselves has opened up huge doors for them just by making a little switch in opening themselves up to receive.
Yeah.
And then the next piece that I have found really, really the most important one is to be able to learn to hear your intuitive guidance, but most important, trust it and surrender. Too often we're busy trying to make things happen, and I'm not saying you don't want to make things happen, that's not what I'm saying here, but we're so focused on where we're at that we keep creating where we're at instead of surrendering and knowing something bigger that we're intending is out there and it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so let me give you an example, because I went from millionaire to broke in less than 5 years. Okay? And when I realized that I was broke, and I called my broker and said, would you like put some money in my checking account so I can pay my mortgage? And he said, what money? I was like, oh my. So I wasn't paying attention to my finances because I was trying to put a con artist in jail. So I first went into major fear, and things got really way worse, let me tell you. And I realized I had to stop that.
Yeah.
So I put an intention that I would move through this just like anything else I had been able to move through in my life, that I would come through it with ease and grace. It might be tough, but I would be okay. And yeah, that was the key, knowing you'll be okay. So I'll try to keep this story short, but what ended up happening was I said, okay, I better put the house up for sale by owner. I don't want to pay a realtor's commission because, you know. So I listed the house for $225.
Mm-hmm.
The realtor that had sold it to me 4 years earlier called me up and said, have you lost your mind? I wouldn't even take that listing for more than $208. I'm like, that's why I didn't hire you. Have a good day. So a couple weeks later, I landed a job. I was in Arizona at the time. I landed a job in Florida, and I took the house off the market, had a friend stay at the house to take care of it, and I went to Florida. I worked there for a month or two, and that contract ended, and I went back, and I said to Spirit, okay, this money is not going to make this last that long. What next? So I heard to call a realtor and list the house at $235. No, I've now raised it $10,000. Okay. Realtor comes, says, okay, I'll take the listing. That's pretty high, but if you insist, I'll take the listing. So, house doesn't sell. Spirit says to me in meditation, raise the house to $245. I'm like, seriously? Everybody's lowering their house prices. Raise the house to $245.
Wow. What year was this?
So I did.
What year was this?
2005.
Okay.
So I raised the house to $245. Now, the realtor thinks I am totally crazy at this point. I get on a plane because a friend invited me to, and I go off to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm there, I happen to mention to my sister I have a little piece of vacant property in Michigan. It's got to be worth something. See how much it's worth. I get a phone call, and what I think is probably worth about $10,000 or $11,000, the realtor calls me and says, I can get you a cash offer for $78,000. How's that sound? Works for me, right? So that happened. I come back, and I said to Spirit, okay, this house still hasn't sold, and I still have $150,000 worth of credit card debt at this point. What do I do next? And I hear, raise the price. So I raised the price finally. The last raise was to $277,000. In 2 weeks after raising it to $277,000, it sold for cash for $265,000. I landed a job that I had to be in Florida 2 weeks later for Hurricane Wilma.
Mm-hmm.
I earned $40,000 in 6 weeks.
Wow.
And it's all because I surrendered. I stopped going into fear. I stopped thinking about it. And I trusted the guidance I was getting. And I have to say, one of my secrets to listening to guidance is the more insane it seems, the more accurate it probably is. Go for it.
Wow. Wow. That is a super good point about trusting our intuition, because most people just, it's so discounted in the mainstream world. It's just not allowed typically.
Yeah. our intuition really has all the answers. Our higher self, God, whatever you want, label you want to give it, it has all the answers if we're willing to listen, trust, and act.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of us never do that.
What do you have any guidance on how people can improve that?
Well, you know, it's a few different things. First of all, people get intuition in a lot of different ways. So a lot of people feel it in their body somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have a little exercise I teach people. Well, I do one time with people. Actually, I don't teach it. That helps you learn how you feel in your body when it's a yes answer versus a no answer, a positive versus a negative. And that helps a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I teach is how to do muscle checking, because that can be extremely helpful.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot to learning to do it properly. There's a lot of people out there teaching muscle checking that is really questionable. And I won't say any more about that, but you want to do it. You know, I believe in doing it. If you're going to do self-muscle checking, you do blind self-testing, meaning you put all the answers on pieces of paper, turn them over, and test it without looking at what the answer is on the other side of the piece of paper.
Yeah.
So you don't allow your mind to help you decide what the answer really is.
Right. I did something similar years ago with in a remote healing workshop I was in. Put stuff in an envelope and then picture what it was, draw it out, and then at the end open it up and see how close it was. And it was pretty cool.
Well, you know, David Hawkins, Power versus Force, I was at one of his events, and he was talking uh-huh. about how they did a test with aspartame and sugar in an audience. And they taught everybody basic muscle checking,
mm-hmm.
and they handed out envelopes. And some of the envelopes had aspartame, and some of them had sugar.
Hmm.
Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. no, I'm sorry, sugar, vitamin C. Sorry,
oh, okay.
Vitamin C powder. Okay. So they then taught basic muscle checking to do with the person sitting next to you. And they had the people hold the envelope up to their solar plexus and just muscle check whether they were weak or strong
mm-hmm.
and write down the answer. And 100% of the people with vitamin C were strong, and 100% of the people
wow.
with the aspartame went weak. They had no idea what was in those envelopes.
Huh. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it really is, and it really speaks to how powerful the body is in knowing what's good and not good for it. Good and not good for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
The body is
yep.
pretty intuitive, or pretty, what's the word? The body knows truth. The body doesn't have the mind to get in the way.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I actually, when I used to take supplements a lot, I don't take many supplements any day these days. I do all energy stuff. But when I used to do that, one of the things I would do is I would blind muscle check to see what supplements I needed each day, because our body really doesn't need all of them every day.
Mm-hmm.
like it says on the bottle, it's easy to,
right.
to fall into that, take two a day, because that's what it says.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time our body doesn't need all that, so we just flush a lot down the toilet, which Americans have the richest toilets in the world, they say.
Especially when you include some expensive pharmaceuticals that go down.
Yes. And so, yeah, that's what I used to do. I'd literally wrote, had a stack of cards that had all my supplements on it, and the first one was a stack that said what all the supplements were, and I would check to see which ones I needed. Again, turning them upside down so I couldn't see them. And then another set that said how many times a day. How many tablets, how many times a day. And so I would go through all three tests with each thing that was a positive, and then I knew what to take for the day.
Wow. So did you get to a point where you were able to just check in with your intuition and then double check or double test it with the muscle testing and so that you were able to
You can actually, you absolutely can do that. And I got to that point, and then shortly thereafter learned how to draw the symbols for supplements. And so I rarely actually take a physical supplement anymore.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I also heard that you can walk into a health food store and draw the beneficial nutrients from the stuff in the store into your body without even eating anything. I was like, whoa, that is super cool.
Yeah, well, once you understand and you fully grasp the idea that everything is energy, then it really becomes quite easy to understand that absolutely, why not? You pick up the bottle and you absorb it in. And one of the things I do, because it's all about intention and knowing, is, you know, if you know that, i.e., you know, a lot of us know that plastics are harmful and they so on, I already know that my body releases any plastic energy that comes near it. So I just intend that and know it, and I don't even think twice about it.
Wow. So what happens when people don't respond to the symbols? Is there a personal block or an awareness, or what? Have you ever noticed that happen?
Most people respond to, so the first one that most people respond to is the chakra opening. Now, I have rarely seen anybody not have some kind of response to it, but we all tend to have different responses. And so, you know, my feeling is that it's not necessarily a block. Some people just don't feel the energy, yet something may happen. So I've had, with that one in particular, it was 20 seconds to open and balance somebody's chakras by just having them hold the symbol against the skin in their non-dominant hand.
Wow.
And they'll say nothing happened, and yet if I muscle check them, they will show that they had blocked chakras, and now they don't. And then they're blown away by it because they didn't even feel it.
Huh.
Yet I have other people. I had one person that totally is unaware of anything to do with metaphysics at all, was a marketer / techie person who was offering to help me get my work out into the world and said, you know, I guess I need to experience it. Can you send me one of the symbols? So I sent them the chakra opening and balancing with nothing except hold this against the skin of your non-dominant hand. I didn't tell them what it was for or anything else. And they wrote me an email back that said, is this supposed to make you feel like a zipper where suddenly energy just went all the way from the bottom of your butt to the top of your head?
Holy cow.
So, you know, I think people have things happen and things adjust. Now, here's the issue that I really want to address with your question, though, and that is the more permanent change. So people may have adjustments in their energy, but if they don't really go do the deeper work of, like we talked with my shoulder, a year of, you know, all of this stuff, only to discover that it had related to sweetness in life, and then it released. So if you don't go do that deeper work and you don't find what the underlying cause is, you're probably not going to have a permanent shift. But once you do and you move that part, as Sally Ride said, Mom, I'm here to tell you the sky is not the limit. I don't think there is any limitation. I think the only limitation is us and our unwillingness to look at our issues or our inability to find what the issue is. So a lot of times, like with the shoulder, I ended up coming up with another symbol that was to remove any blocks. I had a couple clients that were really struggling, and they couldn't get to their underlying core belief. They were working at it.
Yeah.
And I finally came up with a symbol that said, here, this will remove any blocks. And this woman wrote me back, and she's like, I've been working for weeks to try to get to this. You give me this symbol, and I now have 3 pages worth of some of the most horrible things I believed about myself that I had no idea.
Wow. Huh.
And that's the kind of stuff that happens. And so sometimes my work also evolves as people have new issues they bring to me. I tune in to see if there's some new way to help them.
Yeah. Wow. So, okay. Let's talk about your package that you've got here. And then let's do some sort of, you said you have a process or something that you could walk us through, or?
Yeah, we'll do a process to release some fear. So as I am walking people through the special offer package, be thinking about a fear that you're ready to let go of. And we'll do that afterwards. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Cool. So the special offer package that I have is my 2 signature packages because, unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm a Libra. So I can't eliminate anybody, and the 2 biggest challenges we have are either health or prosperity. So I included those 2 signature packages in the program. So you get both of them. And each of them are 7-week courses that are 7 90-minute audios along with a bunch of crystagraphs and, you know, transcripts and the whole thing, and processes that walk you through a lot of the things we've been talking about tonight and take you through the whole process of how to get to those core beliefs I've been talking about, uproot them, and change them in the process I mentioned earlier that, you know, literally one session you can start changing beliefs.
Wow.
So both of those courses do have some overlap because there are some pieces like the changing beliefs and some of the emotional stuff that apply to both, but they're focused specifically to healing in one case and the other one to prosperity. And the way I look at it is these programs are not something you do once and leave alone, because we are beings that constantly are evolving. So we get to a certain plateau and we might want to go back, including I go back sometimes and redo my own programs. When I get to a plateau and I'm ready to move to the next level, I go back and say, okay, what's the next thing that I want to uncover and move forward on? So these programs really last a lifetime. You can do them over and over as you want to grow more and more or create more prosperity or better health. If you've got a new health challenge that comes in, you can go back and literally it's teaching you all the steps I know for how to heal your body in multiple ways. And then I included 2 60-minute group coaching calls. Those won't happen for 60 to 90 days after you've taken the class, because I really want to give you a chance to really go through the course materials first and then get some coaching and answers to some of your questions and so on. So there's 1 prosperity group coaching and 1 health group coaching, and you can come to them whenever you want to after you get the announcement. And I also like to use subliminals and binaural beats. And the reason I do is that's just to give you some extra support. So this is not a cure-all or anything else. It is a way to give you some extra support. So you're going to get 9 prosperity subliminals. And the reason you get 9 is because some people can work with I am affirmations in someone else's voice. Some don't have a problem with it because it's, who is that? It's not me. It's that person that's saying the I am. So I've given you the I ams, I've given you the you ares, and I've given you the combined. So you have all of that, and you have a sleep version, one that induces sleep, one that does meditation, and one that you can listen to 24/7. So you get actually a total of 27 subliminals, because you get 9 prosperity ones, 9 health ones, and 9 self-love ones. Hmm. As I said earlier, self-love is a huge part of the process. for all of us.
Like you said, especially for prosperity and abundance, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I happen to love Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono is a Hawaiian healing method, so I also created a subliminal and binaural beat audio program for that as well. So if you like that clearing mechanism, it really works well to basically clear things. And that one, sometimes when I just want to clear space, when I've had negative people in my space or whatever, I play it and it clears everything and I don't have to do any extra work. It's my cheater's way.
Yeah.
And I am really, and we didn't talk about this, but I'm very, very fussy about what affirmations you really want to put into your subconscious and start to build on. Uh-huh. And so often people teach affirmations that are not really that positive. So as an example, money comes to me easily and effortlessly. I don't like that affirmation because it gets you focused on effort, because the word is there, even though you know it's effortlessly. It's kind of like me trying to tell you to not think of a pink elephant right now. You can't not think of one, right? It's the same idea. Your subconscious is hearing that effortless word. So after I teach you in the program how to do your affirmations, I really encourage you, and it's part of the package, to send a copy of your affirmations in for me to review and give you feedback, because that's really key to your success, is how well you write those affirmations.
Yeah.
Like, money comes to me easily and frequently is so much more powerful. And if you just listen to what I just said a minute ago, money comes to me easily and effortlessly, money comes to me easily and frequently, which one feels better to you?
Yeah, the frequently definitely works better.
Yeah. And then, of course, I've also got my Preventing and Overcoming 7 Causes of Illness program included. And so that's what's in Package A, and then there's some other little bonuses as well. And one of those bonuses is 50% off of a 60-minute consult. So if you were to buy the one program that's $97, and you were to get the a consult with me, my hourly rate is $200. So if you're thinking of getting a consult with me, buy the package and you pay the same price, basically, and get all that extra support. And then we have a second package, which what I did was I included personal crystagraph-infused subliminals. So this is the same subliminal types that I talked about earlier that are in my voice, but these are going to be in your own voice. And the reason is there is research to show that when the affirmations are in your voice or your mother's voice, you are much more likely to trust them. One of the biggest ones most people don't trust actually are male voices. So they're like, for most people, again, nothing's 100%. I have one friend that she's like, I would have trusted a male voice long before I would have ever trusted a female voice or my mother's. And that's true for some of us. I get that. But the average person, you know, you're best off having it in your own voice. So I normally charge $250 for one of those, and I'm giving you three different versions. And you get to pick whether you want health, prosperity, or self-love. And I give you the affirmation to just record them, and then we create the subliminals for you, the binaurals, and all of that.
Wow.
And then I infuse it with crystagraph energy specific to whatever topic you've picked. And that's $197 for that package. So it includes everything else and that piece for the extra $100.
Wow. These packages are amazing. I look at them and I'm thinking, wow, this is like thousands of dollars worth of stuff here, and how life-changing. Like, so I'm amazed that you're able to mark those at 97 and 197. That's
I know. It's one of those things. I really, truly just want to help as many people as I can. And if this is a way to help people, then I think I'm good with that. I really do just want to help people really change their life. And we need to do this to change the world.
You're a Libra like me with the same big heart. I love it.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so how about process or technique? Now, we talked earlier, and we weren't able to get the crystallograph images or the crystallographs on the website yet, but we'll have those up soon. But for now, it sounded like what you were saying is that it still works if you're able to project the energy to us and we're
right.
willing to receive.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, and it is that quite that easy. So I will transmit the energy to everyone. I'll actually kind of describe the images a little bit, and then I'll walk you through the process. And then later, when those images are up on the screen or on the page, then that way they could go back later and actually follow the process and use the images as well.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Wow.
So we're going to do a releasing fear. So the first thing, if you were using the symbol, is you would basically put your non-dominant hand, the palm of it, near the monitor, or if you had them printed off, you would hold them with them against the skin of your non-dominant hand. And there's other ways to use them, but that's the simple way to start off with. And the two symbols we're going to work with tonight are the chakra opening and balancing, and we always work with that one because when the energy is flowing, everything works better. So you don't have any hiccups in that energy field to begin with, and things will work better. And then we're going to do the releasing fear symbol. So I want everyone to take a moment, just take a deep breath and get quiet. If you're driving or doing anything that needs your full attention, please don't do this part of the call at this point. Come back later and listen, okay, because we don't need anyone closing their eyes while driving. And so I want you to go ahead and take a deep breath, and I am now transmitting the energy of the chakra opening and balancing symbol to all of the listeners. And as you breathe in the energy, just allow yourself to feel golden light coming into the top of your head, all the way down through your face, down your throat. When it gets to your throat, it goes out your shoulders, down your arms, all the way down to the tips of your fingers. Then the golden energy continues down through your torso and your chest, down through your abdomen, your hips, and then feel it start to go down your legs, past your thighs, your knees, your calves, your ankles, your feet, all the way to the tips of your toes, and then out through the bottoms of your feet like roots. And then notice a ball of beautiful red energy that comes in at the base of your spine. Just bring that ball of red energy in and just see it expand and open. With one or two breaths, it just opens really wide, big, bright red ball of energy. Then on your next breath in, breathe in a ball of beautiful orange light in just below your belly button. Moving up your body, breathe in a ball of beautiful yellow light at your solar plexus, which is right at the base of your breastbone. Take another deep breath and breathe in a ball of beautiful green light in the center of your chest. And as each of these expands, see them working together with the ones below them. So they're now all blending together as you breathe in a ball of beautiful blue light into your throat. Taking another deep breath, breathe in a ball of beautiful violet light into your forehead, where your third eye is. And then take a deep breath and breathe in a ball of white light into the top of your head. Now, if you were using the symbol, you would be moving to the releasing fear symbol next, which looks like a heart with one side purple and the left side pink, with what I call squiggly lines of purple, gold, and pink energy out the left upper quadrant. What I would like you to do is think of whatever fear you've decided you're ready to release, and I want you to visualize that you're putting that fear in the center of that purple and pink heart. And just keep putting it in there until you feel like you have released it all and it's now all in that energy of that heart. And know that fear cannot live where love is. And that heart is total and pure love. So breathe in energy. Allow yourself to just release the last of those fears into the heart. And as you do, that fear begins to escape out of those squiggly lines in the upper left quadrant of the heart. But as it tries to escape, visualize a beautiful ball of pink energy, like a big pink balloon. And as the fear attempts to escape, it ends up going right into that big pink balloon. Now take a deep breath, and I want you to say to that fear, thank you for the gift you've given me, and I am now ready to stand in my power and let you go forever. And as you say that, I want you to see that ball, that pink balloon, start to float away. And as it goes further and further away, just sense and feel the relief. And now I want you to visualize yourself doing whatever it was you fear. And if it's you're afraid of death, as an example, or afraid of being injured, see yourself getting to that point and having God or Spirit catch you and show you that you're totally safe and you're so totally alive. So just see yourself going and doing whatever it is as this fear begins to float away. And the fear is going further and further away the more you get into doing what it is you were fearing. And pretty soon it's so far away, it's almost not visual, and then you see it burst open and just go into little particles. And then celebrate that you are free of that fear and that you are able to conquer any fear that you have by doing this process. And now I want you to come back slowly, and I'll count backwards from five. So five, take a deep breath and maybe start to blink your eyes just a little bit. Four, go ahead and start to wiggle your fingers just a little. Three, maybe wiggle your toes too a little bit here. And you're gradually coming back to the present moment. Two, you can move around a little bit, maybe stretch a little bit and start to blink your eyes a little more. And one, you're back here present with us and free of that fear.
Wow. I've done a lot of different exercises, and that was deeper than I remember experiencing in a lot of things. That was awesome.
Cool. And I'm glad you enjoyed it. So one of the tricks with releasing fear is that most of us don't know what our real deeper fear is. And so let me use an example. Many people on this call may have like a fear of flying as an example, and that would have been what they would have you might have put into this to release. And when you take the classes that I offer, I teach you how to get deeper to find out what's the real underlying fear. So my fear of flying wasn't fear of flying at all. It was fear of being maimed. I'm not afraid of dying, but being in a wheelchair, I was terrified.
I've been there.
You're right. And so that's the fear I really needed to release. So initially I released my fear of flying, and I found that it still kept coming back because, you know, in a different way. It wasn't the fear of flying anymore, but it would come back in a different way. And once I released my fear of being in a wheelchair, you know,
right,
then I was much more free. So I teach people during the classes, you'll learn how to do that, how to get to the deeper fear so that you really overcome it at another root cause, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
Okay, I've now zoned you out, Jeremy. You are now under my power.
All right, give me the next steps here. You're in the chakra opening one. I've done a lot of stuff with chakras too, and that was really cool. Breathing in the ball of light to each of them and working it that way. I've always just thought I had to tune in and work with what's there, whether I was expanding it or opening it or or clearing it or.
Right. But really, when you have the symbol, so whenever I'm on a call, even if I'm telling you to use the symbol, I guide you because that's what's happening with the symbol. Mm-hmm. But literally, when you're holding it for 20 seconds, all of that happens in the 20 seconds. You don't have to go through everything I guided you through. I'm guiding you through what the symbol's doing. And I can't do that in 20 seconds because I can't talk that fast.
Oh, okay. No wonder it felt so powerful. Since I've got some of your stuff already, I opened up and I was hoping I was picking the right one. I picked the chakra opening and balancing.
Okay.
And actually put my hand over the screen and felt that, like, I could feel it powerfully. Like, I was surprised when you were saying to let the gold light come in and down through the body and down past your thighs and your shins and your ankles and feet. I felt that, and normally I don't feel it so well. So I was amazed at how the symbol seemed to be helping.
Right. Yeah. Yep. They really are very powerful, and all I am is the channel. I'm nothing more than a channel that drew them.
Yeah. And I love, too, how, you know, I understand that it's helpful to bring in the childlike play energy as well. And I love that the symbols are all like that. They're not exactly perfectly drafted and perfectly, you know, computer animated or whatever. They look like a child that draws well could have drawn these, and it seems to help keep it a more fun energy, which is more beneficial in this work.
Well, it's interesting that you brought that up. So I wouldn't even say a child that draws well necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I draw what I am told. I am guided to draw, nothing more. So here's a funny story to share. When I first drew them, thought they're not good enough.
Right.
My father had told me that I couldn't draw a straight line with a ruler. And I had drawn this beautiful rose when I was a child, and I brought it home, and he insisted I traced it. And from that point on, I wouldn't draw anymore. So I actually attempted to hire a professional artist to redraw the symbols.
Yeah.
And each artist said, they are perfect the way they are.
Wow.
So when I was about to publish my first book, my graphic artist said, these really need to be cleaned up. And I'm like, I don't think so, but you're welcome to clean one up and we'll test it. So we did. He took the heart chakra one,
uh-huh,
and he cleaned it up and made it really perfect. He was a really good graphic artist.
Yeah.
And so I blind tested it with a group of people, and I gave half the people the graphic that was cleaned up, and the other half got the original drawing, the copy of the original drawing.
Yeah.
And I just guided them to hold it in their non-dominant hand and tell me what they felt. And I had people take the one that he had cleaned up, throw it away from themselves and say, get this away from me. I just got a spitting headache, and I feel dizzy, and all of this stuff. And the other people are like, wow, my heart feels really open. And I feel really good. And so that was my final test of they're perfect the way they are. And yes, they look quite childish, and I'm good with that.
Yeah. No, at first I was like, what are these? But no, my appreciation has definitely grown for sure.
Well, certainly mine did too, because I literally thought they looked quite childish. And, you know, it's funny. I've drawn now over 500 of them. I quit counting at 500. I probably am more like 600 to 700 at this point. But what's fascinating, I have like a whole envelope of ones I haven't even identified yet.
Huh.
Because I discovered that I've been doodling these since I was a little kid.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've lost so much. And she just said, you'll get them when you need them.
Mm-hmm.
It's all okay.
Wow.
But, yeah, I was doodling these when I was just a little kid and have been all these years.
That is amazing. Wow. You know, most of the time we look at the kids' drawings and think, oh, nice, honey.
Right. Yep. And I didn't, most of the ones that I've sketched are not color yet. Now, all of them, when they're final, actually have specific colors that I use, I'm guided to use. And the outer circle and the little things that look like E's that you'll see when you see them, for those that can't see them right now, the outer circle is always gold, and it's a layer of protection allowing love and positive in, and negativity goes out, and no negativity can come in through that circle. And the E's were really interesting. I initially, when I removed the lump from my breast, that had not come to me yet. When I got cancer in my blood was when that piece came to me, because the cancer symbol kept working, but it wasn't staying. And when I was visiting the medical intuitive that I mentioned earlier, she said to me, you know, I think I know what it is. You're not locking it in. So go sit and ask how to lock the energy into your body. And those little E's are the locks that lock the energy of the main symbol into the body.
It helps to integrate and restructure in more permanently.
Yes.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a journey. It's been a journey all along. It's been a fascinating journey in many, many ways. And it's always fun to learn new things about them, too, because I'm open always to what's next, what's new.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing these.
Oh, you're welcome.
I hope that everybody on the call, everybody that's listening to the replay, that everyone can get the chance to experience these. Wow, I love, too, that you were able to transmit that over the call, even though we didn't have them on the website yet. Is there a way to – can you carry a deck of these with and just put your hand over the whole deck and get the benefit from all of them?
Yes, you do have to be a little bit careful with that. So
okay.
I'm glad you asked that question, because I had them for a while in a book. Uh-huh. And this one woman that I was working with put her hand on the book to work with a specific symbol. I can't even tell you which one it was. But behind that symbol was the blood pressure balancing symbol.
Oh.
And she's like, she was a medical person. And she's like, something just happened to my blood pressure. And she moved away. And I looked and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And I pulled the other symbol away. And she put her hand back down and felt the balance right away of what she really needed. So we do have to be very careful what we stack together. And so that you're not adjusting something you don't want to adjust, but absolutely you can carry packets of them. I have a travel kit that I travel and get no jet lag and all that cool stuff, and I always carry the whole packet with me because it's got stuff for all kinds of travel things.
Wow.
Yeah, so just kind of depends on what you're doing, but you do want to be careful what you've got in that pack.
Right. Wow. That is incredible. I'm blown away.
And the other thing is, I always tell people to be really careful not to be sharing symbols with other people unless they're aware and they know what the symbol's for and so on, because it can shift people's energies when they're not ready, and you don't want to be doing that. That's like trying to play God here. So, and I have people wanting to heal other people. I'm like, not unless that person's given you permission. Don't be doing that.
Now, what would you say with your own kids?
With your own kids, I would still check in. I use muscle checking, and I would check in and see if that child's spirit is ready for you to do some work on them. And then I would do it if I got a yes. I mean, sometimes it's not in their highest good right now to do the work, and we're trying to force something on different people, including our children. And that might not be what's currently in their highest good. And
yeah,
I've had children come to me that I knew were ill that came to me in my sleep that I'd worked on all night, and the next morning the parents were like, wow, the baby's all better now. I don't know what happened. And well, the baby came to me in the middle of the night and asked for this work. And I would never in myself go to try to heal that baby. But when the baby comes to me and asks me for something,
Wow. I had a friend just come to me, message me the other day saying he had a dream that he was holding my head in his hands and giving me blessings. And we hadn't talked in, I don't know, quite some time. And so it was like, whoa, how awesome is that?
Right. Yeah, I had a friend that her husband had a stroke, and he was in the hospital, and they were about to send him home. And he didn't have... whatever was going on with his brain, he was not processing things properly, and so he was doing things very reactively. So he was a chef, and during the, part of the rehab, they took him to the grocery store to buy his goods to make a meal.
Yeah.
And as soon as they stopped the car, he jumped out and walked right in front of traffic.
Oh.
So he was... That was what was going on still with his brain, because he wasn't processing that whole, okay, I got to look and all that. And they were going to send him home like this, and she was going to have to go to work and leave him strapped all day. Well, you can't do that. I mean, you can't leave somebody tied to a bed all day. So she's like, what am I going to do? And he came to me in a dream that night and asked me to help him, and Spirit told me how to rewire his brain.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, right, I'm going to rewire Jeff's brain. Uh-huh. So I got this guidance, and I was told exactly what to do, and I worked on him pretty much the whole night. Didn't tell a soul what I had done, not a soul. And 2 days later, his wife called me, and she's like, I have some really good news. Jeff is coming home, and he's totally back to normal. And she's like, I went back to the hospital the day after we spoke, and they had taken the restraints off of him and moved him into a regular room, and he was totally okay. And I'm like, Vicki, are you ready to sit down for a moment? I got to tell you what happened. I rewired Jeff's brain. So, you know, those things can happen, but we do want to make sure we're in integrity, and that we're not trying to force something on someone, because that can come back to us too karmically.
The teacher I mentioned earlier that you remind me of used to say whenever she was saying bye was, see you on the astral.
Right.
See you when we're sleeping.
Right. Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome. That's super awesome.
I never would have believed I would be doing what I do these days when I was in the computer world doing the corporate technical stuff.
Yeah, it's just not talked about there. It's not very well accepted or known about. Most everyone is clueless about that sort of thing.
You know what's fascinating? And I think people are more aware, and I want to share this with your listeners, because this was a really opening experience for me and quite a few people. So I'd been studying metaphysics and healing and some of that for years. As I called it, I was a closet metaphysician.
Yeah.
And in one of my awakenings, I was actually traveled to a retirement party. I was no longer working with this group of people at all. Hadn't seen them in a couple years. And I traveled back to Michigan to this retirement party for one of my friends. And I had just had this big awakening. And Spirit told me to start sharing what had happened with some of the people. So there was 15 people at the table. And my mouth's going a mile a minute, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't share this stuff with any of these people. One person left the table.
Uh-huh.
The other 13 people
riveted
that were sitting there all had other stories to share.
Oh, wow.
So I think there's a lot more people that are interested, and we're all afraid to share. Now,
yep.
It's getting better, but I'm gonna. The reason I'm sharing that is, if you're wondering, you know, maybe you don't just jump in like I did, but maybe you test the waters a little bit, because I think you'll find more people are more open than you realize.
Yeah, I had the same experience.
Did you?
The more I shared, the more people got used to it, and the more they seemed to like it and like me. There, there were still the ones that weren't open to it, and so, you know, we just kind of didn't talk. But
right.
But the most healing thing I noticed about it was that I felt like I was finally declaring it to be okay for me to be me, to be who I really am at work, and speak my truth. And that was so freeing, because rather than keeping a mask on and acting like I'm some professional person, I let that go. And I'm like, you know what? I'm here. I care about you people so much that I'm going to share what I'm learning. And it was transformative. People really wanted to hang out with me, talk to me, and we would talk during work or after.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So, you know, and I like the way you just shared that. I mean, it was so transformative, and it really helped you claim who you really are.
Yeah.
And so often we have masks when we're in that corporate world. You know, it's kind of sad. we have these masks, you know, but we think we have to, because we have to fit in, and what will people think, and all that mind chatter stuff that really is just keeping us stuck.
Yeah, we're trying to be that perfect employee that fits in and does the job right, and nobody complains, because we don't want to be complained about, because that causes problems.
right.
I think we're getting short on time. So it looks like one of the other things I wanted to say about the package is that you've got a blend, a mix of stuff where we can work on affirmations, on with the symbols, and also the subliminal binaural audios, where we can listen, including to help us with sleep. I know some people, a lot of people I know these days, sleep is an issue. And so I guess one of the big benefits of this package, if sleep is an issue for you, is these are included. Could you talk any more about that?
Well, yeah, I think that's one of the big things, as you said, that is a big challenge for people. And so to be able to have an audio that induces you into sleep, that's also got affirmations on whatever topic you want to work with, health, self-love, or prosperity, you can do that, and you're actually working on programming your brain for those new positive statements. Well, you're being induced to fall asleep, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it literally is just a beat that gradually puts you to sleep. Now, I do want to remind people, you can only listen to binaural beats for no more than a full hour a day. So those are an hour long. So you don't want to listen to any other ones of the program in the same day. But you can listen to that one for the hour as you're falling asleep. And do not have it in a loop or anything like that. So it has to shut off at the end of the hour.
Now, how important are headphones with those?
Headphones actually work the best with the binaural beats, unfortunately. So if you're going to use a headphone, make sure you put the wires behind your head and be really careful. You can listen to them and get some value if you just put speakers on softly in the room. And that's sometimes that's what I do, because you don't want to get the wires all around you. but sometimes I do put them on my headset or earplugs in, but I do it where I put the wire all behind my head so that I don't worry about them getting wrapped up in around my throat.
Right.
And, so, yeah, and another, you need to use caution if you're going to use headsets.
Yeah.
Or if you got a wireless pair of headsets, that's even better.
Yeah. Another tip I would suggest is that for EMF protection, if you're going to have it plugged into your phone, if you're going to put it onto your phone and listen to it that way, put it under your pillow or something, that you put your phone on airplane mode.
Oh, yes. That's a good point. Yes. I have a separate little MP3 player. I know I'm not an iPhone person, so I don't put them on my phones. I have a separate little MP3 player so that I don't have those issues, but that is a very good point. Thank you for reminding everyone of that.
Yeah, I cringe whenever I see some young woman pull her phone out of her bra or stuff it in there. I'm just like, oh, breast cancer, no, don't do that.
Yeah, that's really, really bad for people, and I don't think enough people are aware of how bad that is.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other topic, but...
Yeah.
Wow. Let's see. Could you cover real quick, one more time, the stuff that's in the package? There's the crystagraphs. Go ahead, I'll let you do it.
Well, there's crystagraphs for, so there's a 7-week program that'll teach you every step that I know from A to Z on how to heal any issue. Now, what I don't have in there is symbols for every issue, but what I do teach you is to learn what the underlying causes are and what things you need to do to heal. And then if you really need a specific symbol, email me, and I don't charge a lot of extra money for individual symbols if you really need a specific one. So you've got that whole package. The point there is you're learning how to heal anything, how to search what the underlying cause is, how to get to the underlying beliefs, how to heal anger, do forgiveness work, the different work.
That was another thing I thought I saw in there was a guide on different ways to do this muscle testing, right?
Yes, I teach you muscle checking. You actually have a getting started guide too. And part of that is to decide what's the highest good for you to do right now and what part of the program you want to do right now. So if you don't want to go from the beginning to the end of the program, learn muscle checking. Mm-hmm. And after you've learned muscle checking, go check to see what's the next piece for you to do. And there's a way to print off like all the different pieces of the program where you can cut it in little cards and blind check to see what's the best thing for you to do next. Actually included all of that too, so you can do your own blind testing as to where to go next in the program. And so you've got the healing program, and then you've got a whole program on prosperity as well. And both of those programs, I think one has 45 symbols, the other one has like 25 or 26 in it. So you get quite a few different symbols and processes with each of those. And then we've got the, once you got through all that, then you've got the, I'm reviewing your affirmations for you, so I don't want anybody installing affirmations that aren't nice and strong and powerful so that you got good results. And you've got all the subliminals, like you were talking about a minute ago. So they've got meditation subliminals. They've got subliminals that just play in the background. They've got the sleep induction one. And there's, 27 total ones there. We also have that group coaching, so they can actually go get some coaching. There'll be one for a 60-minute one for health and a 60-minute one for prosperity. And frankly, it's really not 60 minutes, and it's until all the questions are answered.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And if you're truly not able to show up live, you submit your question to me, and I'll make sure I cover it during the call. But I offer them multiple. I'll offer them multiple times, so people have a chance if they don't like one time to be on a different call.
Wow.
And then we've got the Ho'oponopono piece and the feedback on the affirmations, the program for preventing and overcoming 7 causes of illness, and then we've got the 50% off on a consult besides. And then if you want the upgraded package, you get to have a Christograph-infused personal subliminal in your own voice. And I can tell you, when you do the subliminals and they're in your own voice, you do see an improved result. I'm not saying you don't get some results from hearing it in my voice, but you, when you hear it in your own voice saying the I am statements, and it's you saying it to yourself, it is much more powerful than me saying those statements to you.
Yeah. And then there's three bonuses as well.
Yeah, there's a world peace meditation, a chakra meditation. Oh, yeah, and I forgot. They get my self-love, my book for self-love, too. So that's got some more symbols in it. So it actually teaches you self-love and self-esteem.
That's,
yeah, I forgot that was in there. So, yeah, you get that as well.
Packed full of amazing stuff, amazing tools. That's wow. I'm still just blown away. thank
yeah,
you so
they
much.
Get like 85% off on the bigger package, and I think it's over 90% off on the smaller package. I believe, isn't it?
Wow, yeah. That is amazing. Kristalia, thank you so much. To the listeners again, if you want to go to earthiswakingup.com/Kristalia, KRYSTALYA, and then go down and click on the special offer button. It'll open the page that shows her packages, both of them, and you can see the details there, and you can pick one or both, whichever works for you. I hope that the people that can find benefit and value in their lives for these and feel ready and open to it, that you have the ability to choose for yourself if that's what it takes, and that you don't keep choosing against yourself. I know a lot of us have a lot of unconscious programs that keep running and keep us from really doing or making the changes in our lives that might be beneficial for us. So check in with yourself, check your intuition, see if this is something that speaks to you. I feel that the content and the tools included here are incredible value. And I want to thank Kristalia for putting this together, for sharing these gifts, for stepping into your true self and allowing these things to come through you. And letting go of the blocks that other people were kind of helping put on you to prevent you from allowing these gifts to come through to the world. And
Well, thanks, Jeremy. And I like your one point. And I really want to make it clear to people, do tune in. Tune in and determine if this is right for you. I don't want people to just buy it because they're buying it. I want you to really tune in. Is this the right thing for you? Because that's what's important. It's what is going to work for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big thing for me. I don't want to be wheeling and dealing and selling anything to people that don't need it or want it. I want to make sure that people have these opportunities and can enrich their lives with these tools and processes and teachers that they choose to bring into their lives. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Me too. I don't really want to just sell packages just to sell them. I really want to change people's lives and just help me or them if they buy the package and they don't get value out of it. So, yeah, tune in. Don't just go buy something. Tune in. Ask for guidance.
Yep. I think we'd be in a whole different business if that was the case.
Yep.
All right. I think we better close. Do you have any other closing remarks?
Well, I think what I'd really like to say to your listeners is this. I would like to have you all take a moment and make a commitment to yourself that you're going to do something good for yourself. Because the real key here is when you treat yourself with total love and respect for yourself first, you're going to do so much more good in the world for your family, for your friends, for your even for your employer. when you are loving yourself. So I want you to take a moment before the end of the day, and I want you to make a commitment that you're going to do something you love doing that's good for you every day.
Yeah, that's incredible. Thank you so much, Kristaya.
You're welcome, Jeremy. Thank you for having me here, and thank you to all the listeners for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
My pleasure. Yep, thanks again to the listeners for tuning in and checking to see what else might be available to help inspire change in your life. And I hope that we can all inspire change for the positive in the people's lives that surround us, our loved ones and friends and family and people we work with, that we can all tune in and make a difference in this world. Love and light to all, and take care.